welcome. You are listening to the U-Urban Bible Study Weekly Leaders Training Podcast. The U curriculum is especially created by and for urban and multi-ethnic churches. This podcast is designed to help leaders lead a Bible study using Lifeway's U-Urban Bible Study resources. Each week, we examine the biblical passage, review some questions teachers may face, and give a practical teaching tip. I'm Dr. Mark Crosston, General Editor for the U Bible Study, and today joining me is my wife, Brenda Crosston. She is the Women's Ministry Leader at the Mount Gilead Baptist Church in Nashville, and she is actually the writer of this series of lessons. Hello, Brenda.
Hey, Mark. I'm feeling a little sad. This is our last lesson of the 7 series, and it's been an enjoyable time.
All right. So why don't you go ahead and give us the overview for today's study?
All right. So today's study is found in Revelation 3. We've been there. And the verses are 14 through 22. Our title is Sufficient in Christ Alone. This final lesson is the invitation for us to recognize where our soul supply is, where all of our sufficient need, our needs are met with sufficiency. That is to the complete, to the full.
All right. So the point of today's lesson is God provides all we need as we pursue Christ daily. So let's read the first few verses of this lesson. Write to the angel of the church in Laodicea. Thus says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the originator of God's creation. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I am going to vomit you out of my mouth. For you say, I'm rich, I have become wealthy and need nothing, but you don't realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. Wow. Wow. So here we are in this lesson, Sufficient in Christ Alone. And our theme for this first section is turn from self-sufficiency, turn from self-sufficiency. So Brenda, talk to us about the key word here.
You have originator of God's creation and also the word lukewarm. So the originator of God's creation is the fact that in the Greek, it's indicating that Jesus is the chief position. And this title is shared with God the Father, indicating that they started everything and will end everything. And this word here, lukewarm, it is referencing the fact that Laodiceans had to pipe their water in. And by the time the water reached them, it wasn't hot or cold. It was lukewarm. And so they would understand the irritation that is in Jesus's, the implication of the irritation in Jesus's statement here of being lukewarm.
All right. So turn from self-sufficiency. So again, look at how Jesus identifies himself in this text. The Amen. The faithful and true witness. So it is the originator of God's creation. So I'm faithful and true. He's the one who is the starter, the sustainer of everything that there is. And then he says, I know your works, that they are not hot or cold. And so so ultimately, we have to trust the one who is the true and faithful witness. We have sometimes our own estimations of how things are, how things ought to be, sometimes who we are. And so sometimes we see ourselves as too much. We're too much in our own minds. And that's what he says here. These people are just not really trusting him for their sufficiency, neither hot nor cold, but lukewarm. And ultimately he says about lukewarm, man, I don't even want you around. I'm going to vomit you out. What a terrible kind of imagery this is, that I'm going to vomit you out of my mouth. So in the morning, I like a cup of coffee. I like hot coffee. And every now and then I might drink some iced coffee, right? But lukewarm coffee is something totally different. All right. We might drink hot milk or cold milk, but lukewarm milk, you just can't trust whether it's going to be healthy or safe for you. What are you thinking about these, Brenda?
In my mind, I love the Bible. There's so much here. If you just take the time to read it, I mean, really read it. He says, I'm going to vomit you out of my mouth. What's that? I'm sick of you. I am sick of you. Make a decision already. Either you are on fire for me or you are not. And I think it's important to note verse 17, for you say I'm rich, I have become wealthy and need nothing. Excuse me. He's not chiding people for being rich, right? So we have to understand that this is not a scripture that proves that Christian people or pastors shouldn't have wealth. What he's chiding them for is that they have put their hope, their faith, and everything in the material things. And he is sick of that. These people have put all of their belief and hope and how they're going to succeed in themselves and the things that they've acquired, when he is inviting them to put their hope in the amen, the let it be so. That's what amen means. Let it be so. In the true and faithful witness, this means that you can't deny what I'm saying about you, because I'm the only true and faithful witness, and I'm the originator of all of this stuff. And so I recognize you and your heart. Don't deny it. Just repent.
So an honest self-assessment is important for all of us if we're going to be able to move forward in the challenges of life. He says their assessment was that they are rich and wealthy and need nothing. Jesus's assessment, the true witness's assessment says, no, you don't realize you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. An honest self-assessment is really important for every single one of us. And just the idea of turning from self-sufficiency. This is where we live in our modern society and our modern culture. Often we would have spoken just like the people here in the church at Laodicea. We think we have it all. We think we've got everything we need in our finances, in our careers, in our relationships, but we don't recognize how much we need him. And that's why the second portion of this lesson says, rather than self-sufficiency, rely on Christ. Let me read verses 18 and 19. I advise you to buy from me gold refined in the fire so that you may be rich, white clothes so that you may be dressed and your shameful nakedness not exposed, and ointment to spread on your eyes so that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be zealous and repent. So there it is. He says, rely on Christ. So we do have one piece from the keyword, but we've gone over this in some other passages, this idea of repenting, turning around and turning a new way. So what are the key points here that you want to pull out for this idea of relying on Christ, Brenda?
Oh, the fact that he says you need to buy these three things for me. The three things that he offers them, clothes, gold, and ointment, meet the exact things that he pointed out that they were deficient in. It's a reminder to us that God knows us, he sees us, and he offers everything that we need so that we can be sufficient in this life. That last part about the ointment, that's very interesting, because the Laodiceans would pick up on this, because within their city, they sold a special powder that would, it was created in their city, that many people use for eye infections that would help them see. And so it's so funny that from one of the things where they made their wealth, this powder, this ointment that they would turn into an ointment to put on the eyes for people to physically see, it's funny that they would be blind. So they have this remedy for physical sight, but they are in need of a remedy for spiritual sight. Another indication for us, we sometimes feel like we see clearer when we have a better education, when our horizons have been expanded through experiencing certain things in life. But none of those things are sufficient if it is not held up to what God's word says about whatever particular thing, situation, whatever that's in our lives.
So keep in mind that this person is trying to get everything I need, that I have everything I need in myself. Jesus says, no, you don't. You need to find your source and supply in me. And so, and then he ends up by saying, look, as many as I love, I rebuke and discipline. So we kind of live in this time when people want you to stay out of my business. Don't be, you know, that's good for you, but this is what I think, and this is what's good for me. And so this says that if I love a person, then I won't let you run around like the emperor who didn't have any clothes, right? I won't let you run around with smudges on your face that you can't see, right? You can't see these things, but the Lord says, I see them. And so because I love you and I can see the deficiency, I can see the fault, and I can see where this is going to take you down the road. And the reason that I rebuke and discipline is because I want a better future for you than you can currently see for yourself.
You and I just had this conversation yesterday, and we won't go into a debate, but there is a popular comedian who went on to speak to young ladies from social media about going out in bonnets. And she talked about the African-American community having standards. And there was an uproar because they felt like she needed to mind her business. And it's the idea of what you said that, and especially in the body of Christ, this applies in the body of Christ, that if I know you're going the wrong way and I'm in relationship with you, I'm compelled, because it's not just your business, it's our business. And parents, this is super important. Oftentimes as our kids get older, we're trying to find out how to parent them. And they have a lot of therapy words that they know now and are applying therapy strategies to their lives, and they just want you to mind your business. But what you have to do is understand that they are your business, because what happens with them affects you, right? And so we apply this thing here, that we always point them back to relying on Christ. Your therapy is great. Your idea to better yourself, that's wonderful. But also make sure that your bettering of yourself is rooted and grounded in Christ Jesus.
Right. And another thing I just think that is important for all of us to remember is that rebuking and discipline always need to come from a place of love. So often people rebuke and discipline out of a sense of meanness or out of their own hurt, or as out of a sense of supposed superiority or something like that. And so when these come from the wrong place, that's when they don't achieve the desired goals. And so rebuking and discipline always have to come out of the place of love, because even how we do it will be different if love is at the center of my rebuke and love is at the center of my discipline. So I can practice, I can have a steel hand with a velvet glove. And so, so out of a sense of love, these things have to come. When God rebukes and when God disciplines us, it always comes out of his sense of love for us, not out of a sense of punishment or superiority or trying to put you down or something like that.
So, and the bottom line is to bring it back to that last word, repentance, because rebuke is all, the goal is always repentance for restoration.
All right. So this is good. So we're talking about sufficient in Christ alone. So we ought to turn from self-sufficiency. We ought to rely on Christ. And the last section says we ought to seek fellowship with Christ. So let me read verses 20 through 22. See, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me. To the one who conquers, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I also conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. Let anyone who has ears to hear listen to what the Spirit says to the churches. So there it is, seek fellowship with Christ. This verse, Revelation 3:20, probably many of us who grew up in the church will remember from your earliest days. I stand at the door and knock, and if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. What a beautiful image that is, that God wants to have this kind of personal, intimate fellowship with each one of us. And so he stands at the door and knocks. Though he has all authority and power, he does not force his way in. He stands at the door and knocks. And he recognizes that everybody's not going to answer, right? He says, if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, he says, I'll come in and eat with him. So the truth is, we won't eat with everybody, right? We don't want to eat at everybody's table. We don't want to eat everybody's food. We don't think we ought to sit down in everybody's house to eat. But that is not what Jesus says. He says, whoever hears my voice, I will come in and I will eat with him and he with me. This is a beautiful image of the God who loves us right where we are and is willing to have fellowship with us as he brings us to where he wants us to be.
There is, I'm a very visual person when I'm reading, and I see Jesus standing on the outside. There is also this awakening in this scripture. If you're reading it closely, you have to ask yourself, is Jesus on the outside of what I'm doing? Am I really just relying on myself? And I, you know, just from personal experience, there are times when I'm just really trying to take care of some stuff because it needs to be done. And all I'm thinking about is what can I do to get it done? And I might totally forget to invite Jesus into that situation. I don't know what it is. Sometimes it might be because I think it's so small that he doesn't care about it. Or I don't know. We just have this sense that sometimes that we have to get things done. But Jesus is always knocking for us all the time. He's knocking to come into every situation, so that we won't have to carry the weight of whatever's happening in our lives.
Yeah. All right. So, so that is important because a lot of times thinking about the whole lesson together, if you feel like you're self-sufficient and you're, you know, you got all that you need, whether individuals or churches, then often, like you just described, Christ is on the outside. And so we've got to make sure that we are constantly listening for the voice of Jesus Christ. We can't be guided by his voice if we're not listening for his voice. And so it's just a terrible picture to see Jesus outside his church, knocking on the door, hoping that somebody will let him.
Let's not miss the celebration though. It says, to the one who conquers, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I also conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. For me, this brings to mind that we are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And so we too get to enjoy the sitting on the throne along with them. And now not on the throne as if we are in charge. No. Just seated with them, right? And so that's so beautiful that he would allow us to be joint heirs with him in being seated with the Father.
So as we bring this series to a close, let's be closed with verse number 22. Let anyone who has ears to hear, listen to what the Spirit says to the churches. And so there's some things that we can all draw from this for our own personal lives and for the lives of our churches as we move into this new post-pandemic paradigm. And so we hope that you will be prayerful as you go through this series of studies and think about what God will be saying to you in your life and your church. This has been a great lesson, and we're so very grateful for these words that have come to us, sometimes a little cutting, haven't they been biting and powerful, but so helpful. And so so have a great time in your Bible study of this session today. Now, if you're a Bible study teacher, I want you to hold on just for a moment because Brenda's going to give you a powerful 1-minute teaching tip. But I just want to remind everybody that you can get your copy of the U Bible Study Curriculum at lifeway.com/U. That's lifeway.com/YOU. It is our urban multi-ethnic Bible study, comes in a digital format with a leader's pack. It aligns with our Bible Studies for Life student and kids curriculum. And so there's something for everybody. Come on, Brenda, and give us our teaching tip for
today.
As
we end our seven lesson series on the church that God desires, teacher, I call you to call your learners to do something, right? So oftentimes we soak in these things and we have great conversation during Sunday school, and then we go to our respective homes and do nothing with the information. Get a big piece of, the big sticky notes, stick it up on the board, or if you are still online, go ahead and use your chat and start talking about the things within these seven lessons that the Lord is piercing your heart with. Listen, just putting them on paper is the first step to moving toward them. And then bathe those things in prayer. Believe that this lesson within Revelation 3 was not happenstance, that God is speaking directly to the church of your heart and your church that you attend with fellow believers. And start bathing those things on your list in prayer and ask the Lord how he needs you to move. Thank you guys for allowing me to be with you for this time.
All right. So thank you very much. What a great, great lesson. And I know you're going to enjoy this one. So join us again for another U Bible Study podcast, because you never know where God will take you.